appreciate that. It is good to see all of you this morning. It does look a little darker in here with this light out, but when it gets to whistling like that, it's more annoying, and we have to have at least one on for the live stream to work, which is not pointed up here. When the lights were turned off, the camera moved. Whew, man, technology, you gotta love it sometimes. In the Bible, there is a section known as the Old Testament. And in this section contains many books, and in those books are many role models for us to look at for today, for us to look at today and apply to ourselves today. Great men of the Old Testament, men like Noah, who built the ark, and we need to look at him for his faith and his motivation to do what God said. And we need to look at men like Abraham because of his faith. There's a young man by the name of Joseph who was ridiculed by his brothers because God used him and they sold him into Egyptian slavery. We read about him even after he went into slavery and how God continued to bless him. We need to look at him as an example. Then there's Moses, who led the children of Israel out of the promised land, and his right-hand man who later became the leader of the Israelite people, Joshua. And then there's David, the second king of Israel, who began his ventures, you might say, or adventures, by first being really noted as being the one that slew the giant Goliath. And then there's Daniel, the man of God in captivity, who didn't give up his faith, but continued to pray, even though he wasn't supposed to. A decree had been passed by the king, so he was cast into the lion's den and not touched. But you know, the Old Testament also has great women for us to look at as examples or role models for us. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, was an excellent role model. That doesn't mean she was perfect in every way, because she wasn't. But she's an excellent role model. And then we have Ruth, who was not a Hebrew, but she married into a Hebrew family, and she told her mother-in-law, when all the men died, that she's going to stay with her, regardless. And she basically said, please don't ask me to leave you. And we see how her life, her love for Naomi, translated into her being into the genealogy of Jesus Christ himself. And then there's Esther. Esther, the queen of Persia, who became one of the most powerful women in all of the world at that time. I want to suggest to you that there's another role model from the Old Testament for women of faith today, but also for all of us because of the lessons we can learn. And that's Hannah. Hannah is an excellent study of role models. She was the mother of Samuel, one of the greatest prophets to ever live in Israel. And her story is told in the first two chapters of the book of 1 Samuel. So if you want to open your Bibles there, that's where we're going to study from this morning. It's 1 Samuel chapter 1. So just for the simple reading of the material in these two chapters, we can learn several lessons from the woman Hannah. She was a woman of faith. For example, when you read the first eight verses, you see that she was a woman of faith that endured real problems. Hannah, her problem was that the Lord had closed up her womb, according to verses 1 through 5. You see there that this caused a problem for her. Now, did the Lord do this out of spite? No. But he used Hannah as an example of faith. And we see him using her here also in her prayers. But this provoked her rival, the other wife in this situation, in verses 6 through 8, to ridicule her, to make fun of her because she couldn't have any children. So what I learned from Hannah in this, the fact that she was able to endure these real problems, is that women of faith are not without problems in life, even in this life. You could be a woman of faith and still have real problems. But how did Hannah deal with it? She prayed. The righteous often suffer. Remember the book of Job? His friends kept telling him, oh, it's something that you've done is why you're suffering this way. Well, if you've studied the entire story of Job, you know that it was nothing that Job did that caused his calamities. But it was Satan. Satan can cause things to happen in our lives that cause us to suffer. But when we suffer, we need to look at the life of Hannah. And we see that what she did, understanding that she had this calamity in life, this trial, if you will, of not having any children, she turned to the Lord in prayer. Sarah also suffered ridicule from her handmaiden Hagar because she didn't have any children in Genesis 16. So we shouldn't let others deter our trust in God. Just because others may want to ridicule us because of the trials that we're going through or cause these trials that we're facing, don't let that dampen your trust, your faith in God. Now, I don't care if you're a man or a woman. That's a practical lesson for everybody. Hannah could have used her misfortune and the mistreatment of not having any children as an excuse to stop serving God. And trust me, I believe there are a lot of people today that do that, just saying that very thing. Things don't go the way we want in life every day. There are things that happen in our lives that so many people today lose their trust in God. They lose their faith in God and they turn away. Hannah didn't do that. Hannah would go to the temple and pray. And pray. And yet year after year she continued to worship the Lord even though she was barren. She was without a child. We notice in verse 7 of chapter 1, it says, so it was year by year. You think about that implication. Year after year after year. When she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. The other wife would ridicule Hagar or Hannah for not having any children. And it says, Hannah therefore wept and did not eat. It doesn't mean these tribulations and trials and things of this nature are not going to bother us. It bothered Hannah. We all are going to face real problems in life from time to time. But how we handle them is what we need to learn from Hannah. So I see here that women of faith have problems just like other women. Men of faith can have problems just like other men. But like I said, what distinguishes them as women of faith or men of faith is what they do when they are faced with these problems. So in 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, we see that women of faith extend vibrant prayer. She prayed hard when this other wife began to ridicule her and to provoke her. So we see here Hannah's prayer. We notice in verses 10 and 11 that she prayed, she was in bitterness of soul. And prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. That's how bad she was hurting. Have you ever hurt that bad? Because people have ridiculed you, because your life seems to be going that bad, that your soul is in bitterness and you are weeping in anguish? Then she made a vow to the Lord and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Lord, if you just give me a baby, then I will give him back to you. Now let me ask you, could you do that today? Well, in a sense, isn't that what we do? When we have children, don't we give them to the Lord by bringing them to worship, bringing them to Bible classes, involving them in every aspect and even what you might call extracurricular activities that we have, gospel meetings and singings and things of this nature? Isn't that what we're doing by giving them back to the Lord so that they can become followers of Christ today? Hannah's prayer should teach us something. She was a woman that was in pain, bitterness of soul, weeping in anguish. But she made a vow. She knew the Lord would take care of her. She knew the Lord would answer her prayer. That's faith. Faith. Hannah had faith that God would listen, God would answer, and He would deliver. We go on in the next few verses, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli washed her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So what we see here is that she's persistent, and that didn't go where it was supposed to. But she was persistent with her heart, and she was not, her voice was not heard, but her soul was. And we look in verses 15 through 16, Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord," and talking to Eli, "No, my Lord, I am not drunk. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." She prayed with her soul, and that didn't go where it was supposed to go either. But she had faith in God's promise. We notice in verse 18, she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. And we're going to learn a lot from this prayer that Hannah made. We learn from Colossians 4 and verse 2 that we need to pray fervently. She put her soul, her every fiber of her being into this praying. We need to pray persistently, also from Colossians 2 and verse 4, or 4 and verse 2. We notice here that year after year she would come to the temple and pray. Now I have to assume that she prayed other times other than that, but for this story, it's told that she was persistently. Every time she would come to the house of God, she would pray. She continued steadfastly, and she prayed faithfully. She believed that God would answer her prayers, and according to 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, we need to have the same faith. You see, women of faith believe in prayer, and God takes notice of such faith. We look at passages like 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. And here we read, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have wars." But God's looking for people who are serving Him, who are praying to Him, whose hearts are loyal to Him. And we shouldn't be surprised that as we continue reading about Hannah, as we read in 19 and 20, "Then they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her." See, he's going about looking for those of faith, looking for those who are seeking Him. "So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked for him from the Lord.'" So what I learned here is that women of faith can experience God's provisions. All of us can. So what were Hannah's provisions? Well, we see in verse 19 that the Lord remembered her. He had heard her prayers, and now He's answering her prayers. Notice, she went year after year. We constantly talk about, that God will answer our prayers, but it's on His timetable. He didn't give her a child the first time she prayed. Maybe He wanted to see how persistent she would be, how faithful she would be in asking for this. You don't give your children what they ask for the first time they ask for it, do you? sometimes there's some persistence in mama, 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 mama. And after so many mamas, you get tired, you give in. That's not what God did. God heard her prayers. And he remembered her. And we see that the Lord gave her a son. And she named him Samuel, which, by the way, means heard of God. We see that in chapter 1 and verse 20. Now, what can we learn from Hannah's provisions that she received here? I learned that sometimes God gives us what we want. Again, it's going to be on his timetable. It's not going to be as soon as I want it. I may want help today, but I may not get help today. It may be tomorrow. It may be a month from today. It may be a year from today. But what I learned from the New Testament in chapter 1, chapter 1 John 5 and verse 14, that it's going to be according to his will, not mine, his will. And I learned from John 15 and verse 7 that I have to abide in his words in order for my prayers to be heard and answered. And I learned from James 4 and verse 3 that selfish prayers will not be answered as we wish. And somebody might say, well, you know, Hannah's prayer was selfish. She wanted a child. Well, you have to understand the day and the time. Children at that time were considered to be a precious commodity. It alluded to the man's wealth to have a great number of children. And she was unable to produce for the family's wealth by not having a child. And that's why the other wife began to ridicule her and provoke Hannah. But I also learned that God will provide what we need. What did Hannah pray for? A child, a son. Notice God didn't give her twins. He didn't give her two. He didn't give her triplets. He gave her what she needed. You may pray to God tonight to give you $1 million. He may give you a job instead. You find that humorous, but that's the truth, isn't it? We ask for wisdom, and he gives us his word. We ask for knowledge, and he gives us his word. We want to be active in the Lord's kingdom, and he gives us an opportunity, but we don't take advantage of it. It may not be what I want or expect when these prayers are answered, but it will be what I need, and it will be for our good. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, began talking about anxiety down about verse 24. And he tells us not to worry about the stuff in this life. And he tells us in verse 33 of that chapter to seek first. Don't worry about all this stuff, but you seek first the kingdom of God. And he will take care of everything else. You look to God first. In Hannah's case, she received that for which she had asked. But she also made a vow. And as we read on, beginning in verses 21 through 28, we see that women of faith excel in keeping their promises. You ask a woman of faith to do something, to help with something, or a man of faith, and how many of them tell you, no, I can't do that? In my experiences, they always are somewhat the first to volunteer, to help, and to do what needs to be done. We look at Hannah's promise when she asked the Lord for a child. She planned to keep her promise. Verse 22, she's going to give him back to the temple and allow Eli to raise him as a prophet of God. And she carried out with that promise. We notice that in verses 24 through 28. And we see at the end of verse 28, after keeping her promise to God, you give me a child, I'll give him back to you, and he'll have the Nazarite vow, and no razor can touch his head. She didn't weep. She didn't mourn. She didn't cry. I wish I had not made that promise. But we see that she worshiped the Lord after fulfilling her end of the deal. She kept her promise, and she worshiped the Lord. So what can we learn from her promise? I learned that I need to keep my vows. If I give my word to do something, I need to keep my word. God has no pleasure in fools who do not keep their vows. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5. If you say you're going to do it, then do it. As Christians, even our yes and our no are solemn vows, according to Matthew 5, 33 through 37, and James 5 and verse 12. And I learned that after I keep my vow, I need to worship the Lord. Fulfillment of vows or promises should not be done begrudgingly. You know, it's like the soldier or the sailor that we've talked about in the past. The soldier in the foxhole says, "Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you the rest of my life." Or the sailor says, "If you get me through this battle, I'll serve you for the rest of my life." And the first thing they do is go to the bar and get drunk out of their mind. And they have forgotten the vow, the promise they've made to God. As children of God, as Christians, we can't do that. And let me just say, you have made a vow to God. When you decided to become a child of Christ, a follower of Christ, a disciple of Jesus, when you made the decision to be baptized into the blood of Christ, you made a promise that you would follow Him faithfully. You would take up your cross and follow Him. Now the question is, are we keeping our promises, our vows? But you know, we talk about not doing it begrudgingly, but we ought to do it with some thankfulness in our hearts. To do the will of the Lord ought to be considered a blessing. And finally, we note from Hannah's prayer of thanksgiving in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, where she reflects back upon Mary. We can reflect back upon Mary's magnificent prayer in Luke chapter 1. Both prayers reveal that women of faith express their praise. They're not afraid to thank God. When we look at Hannah's praise, we see from chapter 2 and verse 1, there's a lot of joy in her heart. Yes, she received this child, her prayer was answered, and yes, she gave this child up to serve the Lord. But she's happy now. She's thankful. Her prayers have been answered. And she made a vow. She's kept the vow. She's got reasons to praise God. And we notice in verses 2 through 10 that with the praise for the Lord for His help, she understands how this child came to be, that it was God's blessing. So what can we learn from this point? I learned that I should rejoice in the blessings that I have received. I watched a clip on Facebook about Jeff Foxworthy. Everybody knows Jeff Foxworthy, right? Here's Your Sign, the comedian, redneck jokes. You might be a redneck if. But he was talking about growing up, and if I remember it correctly, he talked about having men that were examples in his life. His grandfather, for example, he said he never told me that he loved me. He said, but he took me everywhere he went. I knew he loved me. He said that Chick-fil-A started where he grew up at. It was the only Chick-fil-A for like 20 years. He said, now it's a national sensation in the country. And he said, the owner of Chick-fil-A got him one day and says, you see these people walking around? He said, when you see these people, said, you tell that young woman or that older woman that her hair looks nice. Jeff says, well, what if I don't know her? He said, it doesn't matter. You be nice. And you'll be thankful. Because it will come back around. And people will show their thanksgiving to you for the blessings they have received. You get up every morning, and he pointed out that he gets up every morning and he says that I ask for one thing, a couple of things. But one I remember is putting on his shoes of thanksgiving. Shouldn't we get up every morning put our feet on the floor and put on our shoes of thanksgiving, thanking God for everything He's blessed us with. I say amen. We should rejoice in all the blessings that we have received. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 that we are to rejoice always. Not just when good things are happening. And you think, well, you know, it's kind of hard to rejoice when bad stuff's happening. But you're still blessed. And how much more should we rejoice when we have received these blessings from the Lord? Too many times I think that when bad things happen, that's the only time we feel like we need the Lord. You know, break glass in case of emergency. But when things are going good, we ought to be just as thankful for the blessings that we have received, maybe even more so. And I learned that we should offer praise for the blessings that we have received. David offered thanks and promised to praise the Lord. In Psalm 18 and verse 49, he says, "Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name." You know, praising God is how Christians ought to offer their spiritual sacrifices to God. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 13, verse 15, "Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." We ought to pray constantly, thanking God for all the blessings that we receive in life. Hannah, a woman of faith, ought to serve to remind us that all women of faith, all men of faith, endure real problems, extend vibrant prayers, experience God's provisions, excel at keeping promises, and express their praise. Today, anyone can become a person of faith. Even though you may face problems, and everybody's got problems, they're all different. They're all different. But we all have problems that we face. The question is, if you're willing to come to God in prayerful obedience to the gospel of Christ, making that vow to serve Him, to follow Him, then you'll receive the gift of salvation that's provided only through God's Son. But you have to remain true to your commitment to His authority as Lord and Savior of your life. And you have to offer your life and the fruit of your lips in praise to Him. I pray that everyone, whether man or woman, male, female, will be able to say together, as Hannah did in chapter 2 and verse 1, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." Hannah, an excellent example for both men and women on faith. Well, what kind of faith have you got? Do you have the kind of faith that you trust in God to save your soul? He's promised salvation, but it's contingent upon our obedience. By putting Christ on in baptism, coming into contact with the blood of Christ through immersion into this watery pool behind us, is contingent upon my remaining faithful. And if I have put Christ on in baptism and I've gone back into the world, I've allowed something to cause me to stumble and fall, some trouble, some trial in life, then I have an opportunity, according to God's will, to make my life right by confessing my wrongs, my sins, as public as they may be, before my brethren and before God. Because I know from this story of Hannah that God is faithful and He will hear and answer my prayers. He'll answer your prayers. It just requires a little commitment on my part. So if you're here this morning, you find yourself in need of responding to the invitation, either by putting Christ on in baptism, or confessing your sins, again, as public as they may be. Or it may be that you're here this morning and you just need the prayers of the saints. Whatever you find yourself in need of, we can accommodate you. So if you're here this morning, find yourself in need of responding to the invitation, I pray that you'll make your way to the front while together we stand and sing.